from In His Shoes Ministries welcoming you to The Next Step with Father Vasquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. So, we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Voskin, priest of the Armenian Church, one of the oldest branches of Christendom, welcoming you to the Next Step podcast, well, that delivers that ancient faith to today, one of the newest branches of Christendom, right? Well, we're existing, and we are new. Hey, this Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission and is brought to you by the cool folks at epostle.net. Easy to remember because it's apostle with an E. Apostolic evangelism for an expanding, and believe it or not, it still is, an electronic universe. Hey, if you're ready, I know I am. Let's take the next step. So good to have you with us today. Episode number 244 happens to be Vartanants today, the Feast of Vartan. Wow, we'll be talking about that in a few minutes, but before that, before we talk about Vartan, did you know 2 days ago was Revont? Yes, the Feast of Saint Revont. Now you say, who is that? He is the priest, the prototype of the priest. He is the ultimate priest. And yes, the Armenian Orthodox Church celebrates his feast 2 days before Vartanants. It happens to be on the Tuesday prior to Great Lent. And that was just a couple days ago. It is the Feast of the Priests, Sub Revontians. There's a group of them, okay? So in Armenian, when you put that yans on there, it's like it's a group. Now, in English, it translates to Leonites. But, you know, that's okay. A short abbreviation of Revont would be Leon, okay? But come on. Revont. You feel it? You feel it? Try to do it. It's a guttural, okay? Revontians. Anyway, 2 days ago was the Feast of Saint Revont. It is the Feast of the Priests. So have you hugged your priest lately? If you haven't, then this Sunday you make sure you hug him and tell him that, hey, congratulations, it is the Feast of the Priests. Okay? You know what? Next year, we're going to do that. I'm going to put it on my calendar like I'll remember, right? We'll do that, okay? We'll have a National Hug Your Priest Day, right? It'll be for the Armenian clergy who celebrate Revontians. Revont happened to be best friends with a man named Vartan. Vartan warrior. Both of them contemporaries. They were both existed in the year 451 for sure, but they were characters from the 5th century, and actually, they exist today too. Yeah, and that's what I'm going to share with you today. Because I got to tell you, I started the next step today kind of on a low beat, but you'd never know it right now the way I'm feeling. I know we're in the studio right now and just kind of like wondering, hey, what happened all of a sudden? Maybe it's when the lights flash, when the computer screens go on, the microphone lights up. Hey, we all light up, right? Anyway, it has been a really, really rough week for me. And today I want to share with you some insights on why it becomes rough. And it's not for the usual reason that you might think, but I'm going to get to that. We'll do that after the song of the day today. We have Anush that's coming up. She's going to be talking about the Lenten journey, about starting off Lent, kicking off Lent in the right way. And of course, I'm going to have some announcements on what we're going to be doing during Lent. Actually, next Monday begins the Lenten season. We have Punbare Gentan, which is, of course, the beginning of the Lenten season. It actually marks the day of good living. What do we call it in the West? Mardi Gras, yeah. Fat Tuesday? Ours is Fat Sunday. Starts off on Sunday, this coming Sunday, and it's the Mardi Gras, so to speak. It is a day of good living. And then Monday, everything gets toned down, and it's opportunity to purge our system of all the toxins. So I'm going to be talking about that in a few minutes. We'll be talking all kinds of stuff about Lent, but I want to start off with Vartan, okay? Who is this Vartan character? Saint Vartan, okay? It's kind of a very common Armenian name. Susie's lighting up right now, her brother's name. Actually, I light up. My little nephew's name is Vartan. It's kind of a cool name, you know? It's, like, easy to say. You know what? How I define cool? It's easy to say in any language, right? Sometimes we come up with these beautiful names. I remember we had always talked about that. If we had a daughter, we would have named her Zidan. That was because we lived in Silicon Valley. And before it was Silicon Valley, it was called the Valley of Heart's Delight. And it was noted for its incredible apricot orchards. And we thought, that'd be cool. Name your kid Zidan. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, but we didn't have a daughter. And secondly, the big thing that we always thought about was like, okay, like how are the non-Armenians going to pronounce that Z? Z. Okay, it's one of those issues, right? It's the same reason why we have yogurt and not madzun. Did you know that we used to be, yogurt became popular here in the United States in the mid-1960s. The original name for it was going to be madzun. It was going to be the Armenian treat because, of course, it was in the Caucasus that people were living to these incredible amounts. And if you remember the early commercials for yogurt, it was always up in the mountains and how people would eat this yogurt, and they'd live to 100, 102, 112, 122. And anyway, I guess marketing, it couldn't do the z. So anyway, long way around, just to say, Vartan is a cool name. All right, let's talk about Vartan. Okay, character from the 5th century. He led the Armenian troops in a battle for freedom of conscience to be able to practice their Christianity. And I'm going to read to you. If you don't subscribe to Sunsash, let me tell you, it's one of the freebies in the world that's worth doing. Every day you get a special sash, a sun sash that kind of brings it all together. It's sunsash.blogspot.com. It's all for the price of your email, you know, and we don't spam you, but we do send you a once a day little sun sash. So I'm going to read today's sun sash. Just going to read it straight out. This is the message that Vartan and Revont, the priest, along with the Catholicos of the day, Hofsep Catholicos, along with the troops, many people signed this letter, and they sent this off to the Persians, who were trying to force their way and their beliefs on the Armenian people. And this is the response that they gave. They said, "From this faith, no one can shake us, neither angels nor men, neither sword, nor fire, nor water, nor any, nor all other horrid tortures. All our goods and possessions are in your hands. Our bodies are before you. Dispose of them as you will. You see, if you leave us to our belief, we will, here on earth, choose no other master in your place, and in heaven, choose no other God in place of Jesus Christ. For there is no other God. But should you require anything beyond this great testimony, here we are. Our bodies are in your hands. Do with them as you please. Tortures from you, submissions from you. The sword is yours, the neck is ours. We are no better than our forefathers who, for the sake of this faith, surrendered their goods, their possessions, and their bodies. Were we even immortal, it would become us to die for the love of Christ. For he himself was immortal, and so loved us that he took death on himself, that we, by his death, might be freed from eternal death. And since he did not spare his immortality, we, who became mortal of our own will die for his love willingly, so that he may make us participants in his immortality. We shall die as mortals, that he accepts our death as that of immortals. Do not therefore interrogate us further concerning all this, because our bond of faith is not with men to be deceived like children, but with God, to whom we are bound, and from whom nothing can detach and separate us, neither now, nor later, nor forever. nor forever and ever. This is dated 451, St. Vartamamigonian. Writing to the king, Hasgird of Persia, telling him, hey, don't mess with us. Now, what's interesting about this letter is its date, 451. Some 150 years after Christianity had been accepted. That is not a lot of time. And yet, Christianity not only had been accepted for 150 years, but was part and parcel. The people just believed it to the point that they would lay down their lives for it. There was no other alternative. Go ahead. I'm not going to live under some false ideals. This is what I believe. Go back one day, sun's ash yesterday, Lyon, Revente. This is a quote from Arthur Middleton. He's one of the original signers of the United States Declaration of Independence. Middleton says, priesthood is not a convenient, historically conditioned form of church organization, but is rooted in the incarnation, in the priesthood and mission of Christ himself. The incarnation is the medicine of the soul, and the office of a priest is to administer this medicine in the sacraments. Now, I said that it's been a rough week, and I want to share that with you. I'm going to take a little break right now. I gave you two readings. Give you a little bit of time if you want. You can get it up on your screen as you're listening to this. This is sunsash.blogspot.com. The two little passages that I read, one on Lyon, one on Vartan. So over the last couple days. I'm going to come back after the song, and we're going to share some ideas together. I'm going to share to you the priesthood today, Vartanans today. Here's today's song. Enjoy. Norah Rash, performed by the Hover Chamber Choir of Armenia. On the CD, it is referenced as Wondrous Crown Bearer. It is the hymn, it is the Sharagan that is sung on St. Vartan's feast. If you happen to be in a church today, you went to church today, you would have heard it. It is the hymn, and so beautifully performed. We will put a link on our show notes today so you could check out not only this song, but everything that is done by the Hover Chamber Choir of Armenia, an exceptional group of talent that is brought together and highlighting some of the most beautiful and symbolic as well as spiritual music of the Armenian Church. As I mentioned, this has been a very emotional week, and I want to back up a little bit. I shared with you a couple pieces. One was a writing about priesthood, and the other one was a message that was sent from the Vartanians, from the Vartans group, to the Persian king. And this is circa 450, 5th century, let's say, okay? And, you know, at an early time, Christianity is just blooming. And here we are some 1,500, 1,600 years removed from that event, and we sit and we see the events that transpire around us. We see basically that Christianity is a nice, comfortable religion. The anger is gone from it. In other words, the challenge. So there's comfort zones. Jesus loves you is a very nice way of saying it. The other day when we were discussing mission statements, it was interesting that somebody threw out that, well, you know, for the Protestants, it's a very simple mission statement, isn't it? Jesus saves. That's it. It's two words. And you understand what you want to understand. And there's a beauty in Christ's message and in the gospel message that comes to us. It is so profound and beautiful and really touches on every expression of the human emotion, whether it's betrayal, whether it's sadness, it's victory, triumph. There's just so many dimensions that anybody could take what they want from it. And, of course, this becomes confounding because there are people who will describe that this is how we express Christianity, while another expresses this is it. So, Jesus saves. It's enough for me to say that I love Jesus and therefore I am saved. And another will tell you, well, you know, unless you work for it, what does it matter? You know, you have to work. And then you get an event which is so central to Armenian Orthodoxy, such as Vartan, where you had both sides of it. You had the priest, the concept coming together with the sword, the cross and the sword together coming together, the faith and action coming together. And it's pretty wild. And yet, you can't escape the fact that Vartanans, the Battle of Vartan, was a bloodbath. It was a very bloody war. In fact, every description of it will tell you about the dynamics of the war, of the tanks of the day, so to speak, against the military men of the day, the elephants versus the horses, of just incredible blood being spilled. In fact, it is referred to as Avaray, it is where it took place, the battlefront, and it is referred to as bloody Avaray. And so you have to wonder, with everything that we've been taught and everything we do teach, I believe it was Archbishop Torkel Manugin of blessed memory, who wrote a small little booklet called The Impossible Love. And in there he says, and I have to paraphrase it, excuse me, because I don't have the text in front of me, but he makes a mention that it's been so easy for us to really die for Christ, when really the challenge should be, have we lived for Christ? Maybe that's not the right word. It's been easy to die, but maybe easier. And certainly so, because it falls within rhetoric, right? We are dying for Christ. But how many of us are willing to live for Christ? Meaning, how many of us are really to take the challenge of loving beyond what is acceptable, beyond what is comfortable, beyond our comfort levels? Can we love unconditionally? That's a tough one. That's a very, very tough one. And so I look at Christianity, I look at what the church is, and I understand it in my terms. And those terms are really defined by a past and a relevance of that past today. What I present to you as Armadoxy is really taking the Armenian Orthodox faith and understanding that it has its application today. It is not something that is in the history books. And this is really one of the things that was very difficult for me during this past week, because I came face to face with the newest program of the church, and it's an interesting one. Let me just read it to you. It says, an Armenian summer courses. They're going to offer 1 week, intense courses. Listen to the catalog. Armenian culture, history of the Armenian church, history of the Armenian people, Armenian traditions, introduction to Armenian language and literature, geography of Armenia, Armenian contributions to world civilizations, and Armenian dance and cuisine. Okay, as an Armenian, I love it. But is that all that the church can do? There's not one mention that they're going to be bringing the message of Christ to the people. And that is the first obligation of the church, and it's basically been forgotten. And it's most disheartening for me, because my whole life has been celebrated with the youth. I've spent so many years ministering to the youth, and the success is right there. You look at the programs that we've developed, and they are all based on this very basic idea of letting them understand themselves as Christian. But here we are going backwards, and we're going to present all the usual stuff. We're going to have them come and learn how to cook and how to, and that's fine. Like I said, I love it. I love the cultural part of being an Armenian, but it's not the mission of the church. It is not the mission of the church. And we have tried it over and over and failed dismally because we have missed the target. We have missed the mission. And when you look at the Protestants, they've got a simple mission. Jesus saves. Can we express that? And this is very, very upsetting to me. You could tell. I mean, I'm hurt at this point because I realize that I'm part of a church that has lost sight of its mission. And because I'm not part of the solution, I am the problem. I am part of the machine. There's a song by the Beatles, Eleanor Rigby. And the very last verse of it, it says, Father McKenzie, wiping the dirt from his hands from the grave as he walks from the grave. No one was saved. That's very profound, isn't it? You know, you come and you do the services, and at the end you do the funeral. Who's saved at the end? How have you connected these people to that ultimate love that is out there? And isn't this the obligation of the church? Isn't this what we are called to do as priests? And so again, you know, I get through a week, and here we are on the feast of the priests, on the feast of Vartan. What it was 1600 years ago and what it is today. Two different ideas of what Christ is. And as I said earlier, we all are right. The Christian message is so intense. And the beauty of the Christian story is that anybody could plug in with what they want. Try this. If you have brothers and sisters, talk about your parents. I know many times with my brothers and sisters, as we talk about our parents, different things that we were attracted to as young kids, we each take away different parts of the story. Sometimes it's even to the point where, are you sure you're talking about the same people? But yes, for each of us, it's a different perspective. And for each person, the Christian story has a different perspective. It's just not what it's for me. And so now as a priest, you're in a problem. You're in a bind because you're taking this stuff seriously. You're calling it the body of Christ. And you realize that it is far from that body, of what that body should be. And you know what? I'm not talking about human frailties. I'm not talking about that we're human and I'm trying to make this body into this the perfect. No, no. We all have our problems. We're all human. We all are going to fall short of the mark. It's not going to be perfect. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what's your goal? What is the purpose of the church? Is it to promote some ethnic group? Or is it to really make the body of Christ alive today so Christ is working in this world? Is it to be the kingdom of God on earth right now, in action, enacted, empowered? And it's an important, it's a fundamental question. Is it just about saying, I love Jesus? Or really being true to the gospel message, which is saying many people will say, I love you, Lord, and I will say, I do not know you. Is it enough to just pay lip service? I think everybody will agree it's not enough, right? But then we go ahead and we do it. So what good is that? So as a priest, I'm in this struggle of reconciling all this. That, okay, am I making the change? Well, yeah, we're saying we're doing this and that. But if you're part of that establishment, you're part of that machine. You know, every year we do a Martin Luther King retreat at In His Shoes Mission. And it's very important for me because it gives me, it charges my batteries. And this year, as I was preparing the notes for the retreat, I went into the letter from Birmingham that Dr. King had sent to his clergy brothers. And there is one part in it that, I mean, I might as well be saying this to my clergy brothers. And it is well for us to remember that this should be said at every church, at every gathering. Dr. King writes, from jail, because he was incarcerated for his nonviolent resistance. He said, go ahead, arrest me, but I won't fight you. But you can go ahead. I'm not going to leave this area. I'm going to resist the evil. He was incarcerated. And despite him being a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the other ministers in the area were quiet about it. They were part of the machine. And Dr. King writes, he says, yes, these questions are still in my mind. In deep disappointment, I have wept over the laxity of the church. But be assured that my tears have been tears of love. There can be no deep disappointment where there is not deep love. Yes, I love the church. How could I do otherwise? I am in a rather unique position of being the son, the grandson, and the great-grandson of preachers. Yes, I see the church as the body of Christ. But oh, how we have blemished and scarred that body through social neglect and through fear of being nonconformists. When I look at Jesus, when I look at what Christ is in the Gospels, in the teachings of our fathers, Christ is the ultimate nonconformist. He is the man who stands up and says, this is wrong, and I have brought healing. And so the emotional week for me is reading these things from Vartan, or about contemplating about the priesthood, and then seeing the reality of the church. Because to me, I've shared this with you in the past, the Battle of Vartanants 451 is one of those unique battles that is always misunderstood. In fact, someone looking from the outside will always kind of like look at the Armenians like, hey, you guys are freaks for doing this. And why is that? I think the Armenians are the only people who celebrate. That's right, celebrate, because Vartan is a saint. This is not one of those things where you do a requiem service. You can't do a requiem service for a saint because he's not a victim, he is a victor, and that you celebrate. The Armenians are one of the few people, maybe perhaps the only ones, who celebrate a loss. Vartanants, the Battle of Vartanants, on human terms, was a complete loss. It was a bloodbath, and the Armenians lost. But what I like to emphasize is Vartanants 451 is a battle, and it is a war that ends with a comma. And that comma tells us that there's a continuation of the story. And it's a very unique story. It's a very unique battle because it is one of the few stories. And think of that, this even mythologically. Think of this as a legend. Think of this as storytelling. There is a comma there. It is a battle that has all of the elements, all of the historical facts, the numbers, how many troops were out there, what they were holding, what they were arguing for, but it is a battle that ends with a comma, and then there's a continuation to the story, and the continuation is not in 452, but it is from 452 to 2013. In other words, was that battle fought in vain? Was that battle lost? The only people that can determine it are the people that live today, that are willing to say that, yes, Vartan died for this, but it is now my responsibility to continue in fighting the good fight against the materialism, against the oppression, against the discrimination, against what's out there, against slavery, against all the negative problems of the world, and bringing the love of Christ into the world. Can we do that? It's an amazing battle. It's an amazing story. And it has to begin with each of us. Perhaps this is where I get confounded so much. I expect that to come from the church, the clergy. I don't see it. So now it's up to us, the people. People to take up the arms and say that this is a battle. It's extremely difficult. I wanted to share that with you because being a priest, you go through the ups and downs. You go through some of the most beautiful times of your life, beautiful expressions. But the reality is that you see the people and you know that they're craving. They want more. They're looking for an identity, and that identity is not in an ethnic bubble, but it's in a spiritual bubble that bursts into the wonders of all life around them, to the entire existence within the universe. And when you read the prayers, you know, just a few minutes ago, you heard this beautiful song, Nora Harash. If you can't remember it, rewind it and close your eyes to it. It takes you to a different level. It puts you in a different state of being, in a different state of mind. It is authored not by men, but by God. And I sit here and I, as a priest, I look and I say, we have so much to offer, but what are we offering? We're offering all the peripherals, all the things that are nice, fun, but have no spiritual consequences, have no spiritual validity. Because man needs to rise from his state. And when you look at all the physical deals that are going on in the world, you look at some of the biggest problems there are, the wars that are taking place, the genocides that are going on, the misunderstanding of people, it all comes down to the spirit. Yes, we can look for elements that are rooted in real estate, who gets what property, who gets what resources, there's oil underneath all of that, but that basic understanding has to come from an understanding of us. And the love, whether you want to put it on real estate, money, oil, or you want to put it for love of humanity. Can you push it? Can you push your limits? So it's difficult. It's difficult, yes. And as a priest, this is my biggest challenge. As an Armenian priest, bigger challenge. Because I see within the Armenian community, here is a group of people that have had the fortune of being the first Christian nation, the first ones to basically reject it. And when you talk about love of the Armenian church, do you love the Armenian church? Of course, everyone does. It's beautiful. It's much like a museum, right? You go in there, you walk around, you look around, and you say, wow, that is really nice. Hey, did you see the way he used that brush stroke? Ah, this is beautiful. I could look at this for hours on end. Well, the Armenian church is just like that too. I love the way it smells. I love the music. I love the way it all comes together during the service. But we're missing the point that this is this beautiful bridge between us and God. And we're standing on that bridge and looking and saying, wow, what a monument to architecture, to building this bridge is. And failing to understand that, hey, there's an end to that bridge and it connects us with something deeper. To the author of the bridge, to the author of the smarts, to the genius that created that bridge. We're shy of that. And we're not talking in these terms either. The first people that should be talking about it are the clergy. And yet there is this basic disbelief that what we have is so powerful. If there was a belief, we would be selling it more, wouldn't we? But, tragically, we get caught up in what's called the minutiae. Ah, minutiae. That's the trivial stuff, right? It's all the excesses. Small or trivial details. Let me find a nice definition. A small or minor detail. An isolated fact that is considered separately from the whole. Several of the details are similar. A point of information. That's it. First Christian nation, beautiful architecture. Look at the dome and they say, wow, that's an architectural marvel, how that dome sits up there. Oh, Gomidas Vartamen, we love Gomidas Vartamen. Great, great, great. You ask somebody, what did he write? You listen to Gomidas? Can you get through Gomidas? But it's one of those trivial things that, you know, oh, we know, yeah, Gomidas Vartamen. And we have a lot of this. It's called the trappings. It's called the smoke. In the church, you walk into an Armenian church and you see the deacon with the censer. It's the first thing that catches your eye because it's shiny, it's smoky, and it's going up and down, and it catches you. It's got jingles on it. It says, ah, that's beautiful. I love going to the Armenian church and seeing that jingler. But it doesn't bring you to salvation, does it? And so the challenge for us as priests is really to make all of that stuff, all of the peripherals, have the meaning that originally did. To me, those things are vehicles to bring the kingdom of God home. Because my feeble mind as a human being cannot understand the complexity of God. And so I use those symbols. And symbols are used very nicely within the Armenian Church. They have a place within the Armenian Church, and they should. I light a candle to remind me that Christ is the light of the world. And without that light, I live in darkness. I look at the smoke coming out of the censer and see that it lifts up to heaven. It goes up, reminding me that my prayers should go beyond myself, should be lifting up, should be going up as the smoke goes up to heaven. I look at the pictures of the different saints, and within each of them, I see an opportunity for us to rise from our humanity and touch God, to touch our divinity. I look around me and I see the curtain. It expresses to me the separation between us and God because of our sin. I look around me and I see people. I see the love that people have towards one another when they embrace in the kiss of peace. The kiss of peace in itself doesn't save me, but it's an expression. The curtain doesn't save me, but it's an expression. The smoke doesn't save me, it's an expression. That's it. And once we can understand the underlying reason why we have all of this, then we can better understand what the meaning of this church is. Then we can better understand ourselves within that community. Our lives have meaning. We have a meaning and a purpose within the bigger structure, whether it's the church, the community, or our world. And so I'm really looking forward to the Lenten season that's coming up. It begins next Monday. I'll be talking about it after we do our pomegranate seeds right now. But it's going to be an important time for me. Time to purge some of the excesses, the toxins that have built up in our lives. I'm going to invite you to get involved with the Lenten season, to pray for this ministry, to pray for the Armenian Church, to pray for the ministers of the Armenian Church, the priests, to pray for the people, to pray for the growth of the Armenian Church as the kingdom of God. Here's Anush with today's pomegranate seeds.
Looking inward for Lent. It's hard to believe, but January is over, and February is well underway. For those of us that made resolutions, it's time to revisit them and assess our progress. This year, I chose one word to be a mantra, a resolution for myself, and that word is balance. I chose this word to help me focus on balancing my life, my diet, my time, my sleep, my work. 1 month into the new year, I'm still not feeling like I'm hitting the mark, but I am working on it, and the year is not over yet. But there's another time to set aside some time for introspection, other than the new year, and that's the period of Lent. As young children, we would think for weeks about what we were going to give up for Lent. It had to be something we truly loved. Inevitably, my mom and I would always give up chocolate. But as I got older and started learning about our faith, I started following the dietary restrictions for this period. A full vegan diet for 40 days. The first few years were tough, but now we're so used to it that it's a welcome change for us as we bring our lives down to the basics. But it's not only about what we're taking into our bodies that we need to focus on, but also a look inward. I'll never forget a lesson that I learned from one of my friends at church. This was about 6 or 7 years ago. We had just come out of church. We were standing around outside chatting. And I don't remember what the conversation was about, but I turned to my friend and I started to tell him, "I shouldn't say this, but..." and before I could say another word, he stopped me and said, "Then don't." I always remember that. Yes, I was embarrassed for myself, but my friend was acting out of love, and he was so right. I mean, we had just left church. We had just taken the body and blood of Christ within us. So his "then don't" admonition really struck a chord, and I think of that day and his words often. That year, besides our vegan dietary restrictions, I also gave up gossiping for Lent. Not only gossiping, but refusing to be part of the listening end as well. That's the tough one. But I learned something too. I learned that if I couldn't speak or listen to the bad comments about someone without the fueling by words of the negativity about that person, their shortcomings had nothing to fuel them and they soon fizzled out. Isn't that what we ask for ourselves, to be forgiven for our misdeeds or wrongs to be forgotten? Once you remove that factor, you realize that we're all the same inside, with insecurities, good days, bad days. It's the very negativity of gossip that fuels that hatred and ill will, and it makes us unable to live up to our full potentials as children of God. So my gossip restriction is something that I try to do year-round, but during Lent, I am able to give it more focus. But it doesn't need to be about that either, but more of an introspection on ourselves. What can we improve about ourselves? Maybe it's having a little more patience with an elderly person in your life. Maybe it's changing your attitude at work, or a conscious effort to see the good in small things. How about spending quality time with God and setting aside a daily prayer time? Or taking a Facebook break and spending that time with family or helping someone in need? The possibilities are endless. As we start our personal Lenten journeys, whatever they may be, let's ask God for strength to show us how He sees us and to work on those things that we fall short of. We are works in progress. Let's embrace this Lenten period as a time of much needed renewal, body, mind, and spirit. This is Anush wishing you a very introspective and pomegranate-y Lenten journey, filled with hope, introspection, and ripe with possibilities.
And an appropriate reminder that Lent begins next Monday, February 11th. That's right. Not Wednesday, not Ash Wednesday. No. We begin next Monday and February 11th. So Anush gives us a lot to think about. And it doesn't stop with this little segment that she does. She gives us always a lot to think about. I'm going to invite you to join her at her blog. It's called Inside the Pomegranate. There will be a link in today's show notes. Do check it out. You'll find today's pomegranate seed there, as well as a lot of her writings. And I invite you to follow along. But today, in this little segment, she gives us a lot to think about, a lot of different ways that we can celebrate the Lenten season. And in fact, coming Monday, as we start off, as we've done every year, we offer on ePostle, we offer not only recipes for Lent, because it is a strict diet, despite what they tell you and what you've heard. It is a strict diet. It is a vegan diet that we observe within the Armenian Orthodox faith. That's right. That's chicken, too. Yes, chicken. Yes, that's right. It's fish, too. Yes, no animal products. That means milk, cheese, dairy, eggs. Yes, absolutely none. And we reduce it, we bring it down to a very basic necessity of life. Comes down to when Jesus, he fasted in the wilderness, right, for 40 days, and he was tempted by the tempter, who said, "Hey, you know, you're very hungry right now. You're thirsty. Hey, take these rocks over here. Change them to bread. You can do it. You're the Son of God. Go ahead, do it. Feed yourself." And Jesus' response was, "Man does not live by bread alone," which is nice, but he also continues by saying, "but by every word that is uttered, that is spoken by the Lord." In other words, God's word is what's necessary in our life. And we have that. We have that all around us. In the love that we see between one another, in our families, in our churches, in Holy Scripture, in the opportunities that we have to experience God. Take advantage during Lent. It's just a matter of opening our eyes and seeing it. And so when you deprive yourself of certain things, much like a person who might lose one sense, like you lose your sight, you know that people who have lost sight will sometimes pick up much, much better hearing skills, right? Because all of a sudden they have to rely on their ears much more than they would on their eyes. And vice versa, of course, or for any senses. So the same way, as you deprive yourself of the food, what happens? Your other senses are heightened, are awakened. And so all of a sudden you start seeing life differently. You start understanding yourself in a different context as what really does matter. Purging yourself of the toxins. So I'm going to invite you to our website next Monday, February 11th. We're going to have a special Lenten series. And we're still out right now. I'm not sure if it's going to be another podcast or if it's going to be some connections to a previous one. We're working on it right now, diligently. Actually, Susie's in the studio. She's got like tons and tons of files coming in and out of her computer. I just see smoke coming out of her computer and from her hands pounding on that keyboard. But we are going to find a solution by Monday. So please join us. Epostle.net. That's very easy to remember. You know, it's apostle with an E because it's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Here's Susie to tell you a little bit more about what we're doing over here.
This is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vosgen.
Well, we talked a lot about what the church should be, and here's one tangible way of being part of what that should be. Because what we do here at Epostle is really the voice of In His Shoes Ministries, and In His Shoes is really a basic philosophy. It's a philosophy of living. It's a philosophy of reaching out. It is what I believe is Christ's philosophy of love. Before you can love somebody, you got to feel their pain. You have to know what it's like to walk in his shoes, walk in their shoes, and understand. And in that understanding, then you start appreciating more. You start reaching out. You start becoming the person that you are meant to be because you are part of the whole. Think about that for a moment, part of the whole. You know, this Monday begins the Lenten season, and we're going to have some new programming, as I said a few minutes ago, on Epostle. I invite you to get over to our website. It's easy to remember, Epostle. It's just Apostle with an E. And that E stands for electronic. It stands for expanding. And we invite you to get over there and really check out all the different programming that we have. There is a series there called In Step with Christ. It is a video series. It is produced by the Western Diocese. It is small little messages that I invite you to listen to with your families. They are more family-oriented. They are more Sunday school-oriented. And it's a way of getting the message out beyond what we do. What we do on Next Step is really sort of analytical. It's sort of having fun. It's a priest talking to you. But a lot of other programming there, as well as Compass, In Step with Christ. And, of course, next week starts the Lenten Journey. We did a series of 49 podcasts back in 2010. They're being revamped, revisited, and certainly ready for you to download. We have recipes over there for the Lenten journey, all kinds of stuff. Just get over there and check it out, epostle.net, and become a part of this growing and very exciting dynamic ministry. We are at the end of today's show. I want to thank you for joining us. I know it was kind of difficult. I got to be honest with you. When I started off the show earlier, my head's been in a different space, and it's been difficult because the questions that you have as a priest, the questions that you have at Vartanants and Revont, strike the entire ministry that you're at. It's not just a business. It's not just a job. It's really a calling that you've called, that you've been called to, and now you need to answer. And you need to be truthful with yourself. And what Paul Tillich talks about is the courage to be, the anxiety of guilt. Are we doing the right thing? Have we done enough with what the talents that God has given us? So these are things that weigh on me, and I wanted to share them with you today. I apologize, but I figured, hey, we've gotten to be friends along the way. But I want to thank you for joining us today, and I promise next week when we get back together, it's going to be Valentine's Day and also Diana Tarach next Thursday. We're going to have a fun time with those topics, too. There's a lot of fun that we have, too. I'm sorry if it got a little bit heavy today, but I guess heavy has its place, too. I hope it does. Hey, listen, I want to thank you for joining us, for the wonderful crew who brought today's show to you, for Susie, our producer, for Vahe, our webman, for Anish with her pomegranate seeds. This is Father Boskin inviting you to see the show notes for today and inviting you to take the next step with us.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.